The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. My name is Alex Dunn and I've been joined by Sean Quinn to look ahead to some of Thursday's action. It's the start of the William Hill Gold Cup meeting at Ayr. Should be a great day's racing tomorrow and indeed for the rest of the week. Hello there, Sean Quinn.
Good afternoon, Alex. How are you?
Very good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. And like yourself, very much looking forward to what is in store at Ayr this week.
It should be good, actually, shouldn't it? I mean, it's the kind of meeting that... It's obviously not as high profile as other big meetings that we've had recently, but nevertheless, you get good quality racing, it's very competitive, and the prize money is good.
It's certainly competitive, as you say. The prize money is decent for the type of racing they host, and it has more a feel of an Irish festival to it, doesn't it? Many of the Irish festivals cater for all, and that's very much what Ayr does. Whilst we have some decent action, some high quality action up there, there are also a couple of lowly handicaps, 0-70s, 0-75s, 0-80s, and those allow smaller operations and lesser horses the chance of a bit of glory on a big stage.
And that's reflected in the fact that although you do have some stable stars, you've sent quite a lot of horses to Ayr in the next few days, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly. It caters for a good few of our horses, which is fantastic. You know, we'd love to be operating at the major festivals all the time, but unfortunately group horses and heritage handicappers are hard to come by. They're few and far between, and yeah, the majority of our horses are lower-rated handicappers, so yeah, we'll be busy enough at Ayr this week.
Good. Okay, then. We'll kick things off by looking at the 140 on Thursday. It's a novice stakes over a mile, 5 runners down to go to post. In fact, probably one of the smallest fields that we'll see over the next 3 days. As I mentioned, the novice stakes. It looks a bit tricky, though. I wouldn't be hard pushed to find the winner. I think Bremner may have a chance for Kevin Ryan, but Fahi, Dalgleish, Brown, and Goldie are the other trainers, all of whom do well at Ayr and are well respected.
Yeah, this is a trappy race, as you say. I think the reason the field size is relatively small in comparison with the rest of the week is because there's a similar type of race coming up on Saturday. We've got a valuable nursery run over a mile, so many trainers will be targeting that nursery, which is worth a few quid rather than this race, which is still okay, worth 5.5 grand to the winner, but when you compare it with the nursery, worth 12.5 grand, if you have a horse rated around the 80 mark, it's a bit of a no-brainer which you might head for. Bremner, as you say, is one of the horses, one of the colts in this race, one of two colts in this race, himself and Rochdale House. He made a really pleasing debut at York back in July in a race that's worked out fantastically well, it has to be said. That race was won by Il Paparazzi, but there were a whole host of winners dotted down the field, and he backed up that promising debut when winning at Ayr last time out in a four-runner event. Okay, he was 130 on, so he, you know, he was entitled to win, and he won what, by 6.5 lengths, I think. He did. We learnt nothing new about Bremner other than the fact that he's a pretty decent horse. He's run on good to firm ground and good ground at the moment. The ground's going to be quite testing up at Ayr, I'd imagine. Whether that'll suit him, I don't know. He's by Manduro, whose progeny do handle a bit of cut, but he's out of a Red Ransom mare. Of course, Red Ransom's progeny tend to prefer quicker conditions, so we'll just have to see. But certainly Bremner is one of the ones to be interested in here. The other colt in the race is Rochdale House, as I mentioned. This horse was third at Newcastle first out, and definitely built on that when winning at Newcastle last time out. He beat a horse called Stormadal, who's subsequently come out and won his maiden up at Carlisle in pretty impressive fashion for Ismail Mohammed. He's a son of master craftsman Rochdale House, and he seemed to relish the cut in the ground that he got at Newcastle last time out. I'd imagine it'll be the same again this afternoon for him. So he's one that we can be pretty much assured will handle the softest ground. I think the most interesting of the fillies is probably David Brown's filly Illuminating Dream, a daughter of High Chaparral. She was third in a Doncaster maiden first time up that worked out well, and then won her maiden at Beverley last time out in quite convincing fashion. Okay, she had the run of the race at Beverley. She was towards the head of affairs, which tended to suit that day at on the Westwood, as it has all season, for that matter. But she's going forward, and you couldn't rule her out either. But I think of the three that I've mentioned, I'd probably side with Richard Fizehorse, Rochdale House. We know this is a meeting that Richard loves to target. He's had a whole host of winners at it over the last few years, and he'll be looking to get it off to a flyer with this Rochdale House.
OK, then, Rochdale House in the 140. The second race that we'll look at is Ayres 410. It's a handicap over a mile, 14 runners down to go to post. We'll kick things off with the top weight then. We've got Swiftly Done, who looked pretty well handicapped prior to his red car win, proved it in winning pretty nicely there, and comes here with a penalty.
Yes, he'd just been a bit unfortunate through the season, Swiftly Done, in that he's been unsuited by the quick conditions that he's mainly had to race on. He's undoubtedly a better horse on softer ground. The softer the better for this horse, and he really relished the return to soft conditions at Redcar last time out. That was quite a trappy race for the track as well, I might add. People might initially look at it and think, oh, Redcar form, you know, would that stack up away in a big race? Well, I think it could stack up, because it looked to be quite competitive to me. He carries a £6 penalty for that, but that's not beyond him. And he's also a past winner at Ayres, so Swiftly Done must have strong claims for Jason Hart's £3 claim. Very handy too, claiming it off this horse carrying top weight of 10 stone. Another horse to consider would be Sam Nobulist, who made his debut for Ian Semple's yard last time up at Haydock. He just ran into one of David Barron's that day, Big Johnny D, a horse who's in rampant form and was no match for him, but ultimately beat quite a competitive field quite convincingly. He too, like Swiftly Done, has just struggled this season due to the nature of the ground that he's been faced with. He's a far, far better horse on soft ground, and actually has some quite decent form on soft ground last year. He's still well handicapped on some of last year's form, so he's a contender. Le Chat d'Or will appreciate conditions. She disappointed last time out, but let's not forget she was a winner here two starts back. And his best with cutting the ground, so I wouldn't rule out Michael Dodds's son of One Cool Cat even bouncing back to a bit of form. And Dream Walker racked up a three-timer for Brian Ellison prior to finishing fourth last time out. That was on good ground round Chester. The ground had probably just dried too much for him that day. I think a return to this softer surface is going to suit Dream Walker, but things are going to be tougher for him because he's £21 higher than when his winning spree started, and he's up in class as well, so he might just struggle a touch against a classier type of opposition. The selection here would probably be Sam Nobulist. I'd imagine he'll be a nice juicy each way price, and hopefully he can build on that promising Haydock run last time out.
Okay then, Sam Nobulist in the 410. The final race that we'll look at is the 440. It's the William Hill Download the App handicap for the Kilkerran Cup. A mile and 2 furlongs the trip, 11 runners down to go to post. This looks similarly competitive, a few less runners than the last race. We'll start with King of the Danes for Mark Johnston, who looked pretty progressive when winning at Goodwood and has had a bit of a break since.
He has. I think this is a really good place to start King of the Danes, because he's likely to go off favourite, Alex, and he's enjoyed a good season, hasn't he, to date, winning at Ascot and Goodwood respectively. Given a break since that last Goodwood win, I don't know why he might have had the break, unless connections were just waiting for a bit of cut in the ground with him. But we'll look forward to seeing him back on the track, because when last seen he looked a highly progressive three-year-old. He tackles a mile and a quarter for the first time, but his pedigree suggests that shouldn't be much of a problem. He's related to a mile and a quarter and a mile and a half winner. And he's got to be respected. As I say, he'll be the likely favourite. Others to consider would include the likes of High There and Spirit of the Law, Richard Fahey's pair. Spirit of the Law was a winner here two starts back, and quite a good handicap, getting the better of Fort Belvedere that day. He was then fifth at York last time out, and might just be as high as he'd want to be, but still I'd respect him on a track that he seemed to thrive at two starts back. And his stablemate High There was third in that same said race at York last time out. He's not badly treated, High There, and he's proven himself a horse who loves to get his toe into the ground, so I think of the two Fahey runners, he'd be the most interesting for me. And another one that would interest me would be Brian Ellison's horse, Beaumont's Party, a horse who enjoyed a good start to the season when there was a bit of juice in the ground. Some of his better efforts came at Doncaster when he was a winner. He then went to Chester and was a good third at the May meeting behind Sir John Hawkwood in a competitive race. And he's just struggled a touch this summer on quicker ground. But as a result, his mark has slipped. And I think on back on a soft surface, he'd be worthy of the utmost respect here. So King of the Danes is the most interesting one, but I'm going to take him on, and I'd probably take him on with Beaumont's Party.
Okay then, Beaumont's Party in the 440. Good stuff, Sean. If you could just sum up your three picks there at Ayr on Thursday.
Yeah, sure. We started with the 140 race, a novice stakes. I'm going to go with Rochdale House to kickstart the meeting for Richard Fahey, a recent winner at Newcastle. They sort of seemed to appreciate the cut in the ground that day. We then moved to the 410 race, a mile handicap, a very competitive one at that. And I like Sam Nobulist. I think he ran a really good race at Haydock last time out on debut for Ian Semple. He's not badly handicapped in some of last year's form, and again, soft ground is key to him. The feature race of the day is the William Hill Download the App Handicap for the Kilkerran Cup. It's a Class 2 event. It's the 440 race, and I'm going to go with Beaumont's Party here, a horse of Brian Ellison's who's slipped nicely in the weights, and he looks well treated on the sort of form that he was showing at tracks like Chester back in May.
Okay then, good luck with those picks, Sean. Enjoy the action, and let's hope for a few Quinn winners over the next few days.
That'd be nice.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.